Live from downtown Chicago, it's the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Chicago. The probably most annoying thing that came up yesterday in the news, and I'm only going to mention this once today, is Martin Shkreli. I don't care how to pronounce his name.
Okay.
was testifying to Congress. And I think Donald Trump is immature. This punk who raised the price of the AIDS and cancer drug 10,000% was making faces at the congressmen that were asking him questions. He literally, in one of the, I think it was Politico, one of the websites actually crafted the headline, you know, Martin Shkreli somehow finds a way for America to side with Congress because Congress looked like the grown-ups in the
room. That's a great analogy, too. And the smirking and the giggling and then the pleading the fifth. And then he was tweeting while it was going on, too.
Be great if we could get Julian Assange and Martin Shkreli to both be hit by the same cab. But, you know, Julian Assange is in London. So that's it. I'm not going to talk about this guy again today. He needs to go away. And he needs to be jailed, but I'm not sure there's any law that, covers being an ass. So
there should be. Don't you think they should introduce something into the Constitution?
The jackass law?
Yeah. Of course, then everybody would be behind bars.
You need to open jackass camp for the people who don't necessarily belong in stupid camp.
I'm going to need more land.
Yeah.
I am going to need more land.
More Dakotas.
More Dakotas,
no
yeah.
question about it. John Acosta's here. John, we are selling a lot of tickets for the WGN show that we're doing at the Wilmette Theater.
Yeah, it's actually phenomenal. We've only done a couple of announcements of it, and it's pretty good.
It's almost sold out.
It is almost sold out. Now, the room itself has only got 40
Four seats.
So, you know.
What? Why are you looking at me? You still want
it's
me to
It's a joke. There's a lot of seats.
There's a lot of seats. Yeah.
But there's a lot of seats in the room, but they're almost all full.
Right.
So we are not a kid. You know, this is why it's tough to do a plug. You know, maybe we could just be serious for a second.
Okay.
Take a breath.
Kiss today goodbye.
All right, see, you can't even do it.
Is that wrong?
All right, so if you
like
want tickets to the WGN, what are we calling this?
We're calling it the Steve Cochran Egg Extravaganza. It's between Good Friday and Easter on the 20th.
That's a really stupid name.
Yeah.
So who's going to be on?
Oh, well, this is my favorite part because Andrea Darlis is having her stand-up debut.
Why do you laugh?
I love it. I'm
maybe
so
I'll
excited.
Walk out. Maybe I'll pull a diva before it even starts and say, I just can't work with these people.
Wait, this is on Holy Saturday?
That should be your opening line.
I can't work with these people and mic drop it.
Holy Saturday?
Did you say it's between Good Friday and Easter?
Yeah.
Like Holy Saturday.
Well, not everyone is Catholic.
Yeah.
There are a few non-Catholics.
I'm
not. That's okay. What time?
7 o'clock. 7 o'clock.
It's a good time.
And you can get tickets. You can go to WilmetteTheater.com or you can call the box office directly at 847-251-7424. Or just go on the website to look at that wonderful graphic that is up there of
it's
us all
really
in the
cute.
Basket.
Who put that together?
That was Wendy.
At the Wilmette.
Yeah, at the Wilmette.
Wilmette so Wendy. Cute.
That's all her. Yeah,
good
that
picture.
Was all her.
I need 100 tickets.
100 tickets?
Yeah, just for the Greeks who I'm bringing.
You going to write a check for that, or how's that going to work?
Oh, I just figured I'd get them all free.
You get one comp.
Yeah, one comp.
What else do we get? Dinner? The limo picks us up?
Sure we do.
The SUV limo, or how about a party bus?
Oh, party buses, that would be great. So
you see, the idea is to get the audience on your side.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So I got to write a few things down.
Yeah.
Before I do this.
Yeah, you're gonna have to be ready.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully
it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's. I haven't looked forward to a show like that in like this in 30 years.
So Ross and Kevin and Andrea,
yes.
And you and I are just the add-ons.
We're just
the extras.
Yeah, I think you and I will just talk backstage while they're on.
Yeah. It says 6:15. Lou Manfredini, Lou's first call coming up, I'm looking forward to having Lou on this morning, as I always have on Fridays, because Lou has stuff that he wants to tell you about how to fix things that you need to have fixed. You know what it is? It's a Manfredini situation.
It is, yeah. How smart situation.
15 minutes into the show and I'm already out.
Are you okay?
312-981-7200. Call now. Get in line and be the first to talk to Lou. Coming up, 720 WGN.
And we've seen we've seen a bunch of accidents this morning.
Go.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran, brought to you by American Weathermakers.
It's the time. It's the time of the show. Lou's First Call.
Somebody's going to win an April Air event-based thermostat brought to you by the leaders in Chicagoland's indoor comfort, American Weathermakers, and that somebody looks like it's going to be Kevin. Which call?
Line one. That'll be
Line
John.
Line one. John, you're a big winner.
Thank you, sir.
Even before I push the other phone call button here that gets Lou Manfredini on the radio. Good morning, Lou.
Here I am.
How are you, buddy?
I'm well. How are you, sir?
Doing fine. So an April Air event-based thermostat brought to you by the leaders in Chicagoland's indoor comfort, American Weathermakers. Take control of your temperature and the air you breathe. Go to AmericanWeathermakers.com. All right, John, you've won that. What's your question for Lou?
Is there a backup hot water system? Because my hot water tank went out, and when they put a new one in, it wasn't working.
So you mean like a backup sump pump? Is there a backup hot water deal?
No. I mean, you can create it by putting in a first of all, if you just had a new water tank put in, and it doesn't work, we got to get those yahoos back to fix it. That doesn't make any sense. I mean,
is that the company he hired, those yahoos? I mean, that's your first of all. If a company is called those yahoos, don't have them put anything in your house.
Wouldn't that be the great? And you can reach us at thoseyahoos.com. I mean, that would.
It's a terrible idea, John. I don't know what you were thinking.
Right. Yeah, right. If you hire a company called those yahoos, that's not the way to
picture
go.
Picture of a couple of animated goofballs on the side of the truck. Why would you make that call? Come on, people.
I mean, if you put two tanks in a series, that would serve as a backup. If you put a small on-demand water tankless system to feed that unit, that would be sort of like a backup. But if you have a brand new tank unit and it's just been recently installed, then there's obviously some kind of mechanical issue with it that needs to be repaired, and it's probably a setting or some. Whether it's a thermocoupler, a thermostat issue, or a gas valve issue that can be repaired and should all be under the warranty.
Where are you on tankless water heaters these days?
I love them. I mean, I've been a proponent of them, Steve, for, I mean, many, many, many years. And what's happening now with the technology is the fact that it is it's becoming more affordable, just like anything, right? The longer that you... the technology's out there, the efficiencies and how it's all getting built. You know, it used to be that the argument I had for folks is, oh, you can get a tank water heater put in for $1,200 by a licensed plumber, $1,500, and a tankless was $5,000 to put in. Well, then you're like, geez, that doesn't, Lou, I can put it three times before that. Now it's less than $3,000, but the length of time that it lasts is 20 years, and you just save so much money. I've had a on-demand water heater in our own home now for, oh gosh, 5 years. And, you know, as I'm talking to you right now, everybody's still asleep and the unit's off. Where at your house out in East Moline?
Double wide in East St. Louis.
East St. Louis, sorry.
Yeah.
The tank's full of water and it's hot and you're at work and you're paying for that hot water.
So the tankless water heater's number one hook outside of the price is what? I turn it on, I get hot water instantly?
Forever.
Yeah.
I mean, it just keeps going and going and going. There's a learning
curve.
Tell
you, I got to get mine checked because I paid, I got it 6 or 7 years ago. I think it was $100,000 then. And
you're known for overpaying.
I'm
so
waiting.
That's a whole different thing.
But I'm waiting 2 minutes for hot water. It probably needs to be adjusted somehow, right?
Is it an on-demand?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the learning curve. There, you do have to wait a little longer initially to draw because... And people are like, oh, my gosh, I'm wasting all this water. Well, you're really not, because even with a tank unit, you're using the same amount of water. You got hot water a little faster, but the energy savings on the fossil fuel that you're not using, if it's a gas unit or even if it's electric, far outweighs the little bit of water that you're using.
I actually have mine done with oil. I put 10-40 in there because I love using the fossil fuels.
Right.
So, John, congratulations, and I hope that answers your question, and I hope you didn't listen to anything I said. Joe is on the phone. What's your question for Lou Manfredini, Joe?
Hey, good morning, Lou.
Morning.
I had I recently had a new furnace put in my basement, an energy-efficient one, and I guess my chimney wasn't lined properly, and it was changing the temperature up in my attic. On one wall, on the chimney side of the wall, I've noticed a little bit of musty, maybe a little bit of mold up there during the course of this winter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very damp upstairs. I'm going to have to add some vents, I know, up there. But by cleaning this mold, is it something that the average guy can do if I go and a couple products at Home Depot, or is there something, a brand of chemical that I could
sure
recommend?
So,
that I could,
first of all, if you set a high-efficiency furnace, did they vent it out of the side of the house, or is it still vented through that attic or through that chimney?
Through my chimney, and they lined it. They came out recently and lined it after I complained about it.
Okay. So the reason that you're having those issues is that if you're anyone's replacing a furnace that's listening, and they're still going to use your existing chimney, 95% of the time, a liner has to go in because an old brick chimney and your brand new furnace does not create enough heat anymore because it's more efficient, and that's where that moisture issue comes from. There's a couple of good products for cleaning mold up. One is a product I've talked about a lot called Concrobium. There's several different products there, but there's also a new company. It's been around for a while, but it's new to retail, called Healthful Home. And they actually make a fogger for an attic, which is kind of unique. It's a sprayer that you turn on in the attic and let it go and get out of the attic. It'll fog the entire attic, and that fog will grab the mold and kill it. You can also spray it if you want and scrub it, but it really does work. And they also make a cleaner, and they also make a mold test kit if you want that'll give you results in 5 minutes to find out if, in fact, you have mold.
Well, that's pretty impressive. I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, it's a really terrific product.
Couple of texters. 815, Steve, please ask Lou how I can clean the grout in my shower. Everything I tried doesn't seem to get it clean. I'm not liking how it looks after I clean, as though I splashed it and haven't scrubbed it. Tile's about 27 years old.
Well, I'm showing a brand new product actually this morning on the WGN Morning News by a company called Tech. Tech makes a terrific carpet cleaning product, probably the best stain remover for carpet.
Tech, T-E-K?
T-E-C-H.
Out
of Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
They have a brand new grout cleaner that comes with a little brush as well. You spray it onto the grout. You can even use it on colored grout. And you let that soak for a little bit. And then you use the little scrub brush that they have. That's as clean as it's going to get. If it's 27 years old, it might be time to replace the grout. But this product works pretty well.
Before we get your celebrity Super Bowl pick, there's also one confused listener I need to get to ahead of or right after we take care of this. Lou, how do I locate ductwork behind drywall? Can I use a thermal camera?
You can, actually. There's a camera that you can buy that you can actually stick onto your iPhone that costs $250. Because it's hard to find. These thermal cameras are really expensive, and this thing works pretty well. A lot of Ace stores can special order it for you, and you can have lots of fun with your friends and shine it at them.
So, but I don't understand how it works. So you put the camera on your phone, and then what do?
Then you point it at the wall, you turn the furnace on, and you crank it up. And then as you go across a wall, it'll show
like
you
a stud
how much,
finder?
Well, it is, but it actually is an image. It's taking an image, and it's showing the heat. And as you go across a wall, imagine, you know, a big, long wall, and the ductwork's over here. When I go over there, it's going to turn red because it's warmer where that wall, where the ductwork is behind the wall, and over to the part where it's not. Cool.
Lou, it does sound cool. Lou, where do I find liquid calcium chloride?
Your local, many of your local hardware stores, your local Aces will carry it. There's two product lines out there now. One is called Liquid Snow Shovel. There's no shovel that comes with it. And the other one is called, it's by a company called Quick Joe. They both work really well.
This person was confused. They heard me do the commercial a few moments ago from the 815. It says, what is this wife block Steve's talking about? I need it for one of my exes. No, it's life lock, not wife block.
That's funny. And you know who carries that? Yahoo.com.
Those two Yahoos.
Those two Yahoos.
Yeah, that's it. And then finally, from John in the 708, I saw Lou on the Today Show, and he was getting extra frisky with the ladies kissing him and stuff. Ask him about
it. Yeah, I actually was spanked by Kathy Lee Gifford, and I liked it.
All right. Your celebrity Super Bowl pick is what?
I'm conflicted. My sister used to live in Denver, and so I I kind of want the old man to win. I wanted him to go out. It's a nice storyline, you know, for Super Bowl 50 final. But that whole Chicago connection, Peanut Tillman and Ron Rivera.
Take your time. We're on until 10.
Okay. I'm going to, against my wishes, Carolina.
Score?
34-27.
Boy, if they scored 34 points on that Denver defense. Oh, yay, yay.
Yeah.
All right, man. Hold on. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Love you.
I really confused Lou there, didn't I? Oh, I don't know if that was the right pick. 631. You know why? When he started out, a lot of people don't know this. He was an intern with those two Yahoos.
Right, with their company, right.
That's exactly right. We're back with your big story on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own.
You are listening to station WGN.
One of the great disc jockey ramps of all time. Oh, Stevie Wonder. Living for the city. This is, you ain't done nothing, man? You haven't done nothing. It sounds exactly like Living for the City.
It does. Got a similar beat.
Stevie Wonder stole this from himself?
He did. He did. He's suing himself.
Wow.
That actually was an episode
of
The Good Wife a few weeks ago, I'm just going to say.
Again, that's just a TV show, Andrea. Just a TV show.
But it was that the guy was suing himself.
Stevie Wonder's an actual human being.
I know. I love him.
How many chicken wings will be sold and or consumed Sunday? I'm going to give you within 100 million.
Is this a prop bet or just a...
No, I'm asking.
Let's use prop bets.
And by the way, David, sports director of this major, 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 major media outlet, the largest single radio station in America. Dave, you have to know the answer to this.
Okay, it's within 100 million?
Within 100 million.
I would say there will be 200 million chicken wings consumed. Is that a lot?
That's a little low.
Low?
A little low.
200 million wings.
Anyone else want to guess?
I'm going to say 500 million.
Mm-hmm. Also low. Anyone else?
What?
800 million.
You know, I'm
a trillion.
I got to tell you. Kevin, I got to tell you, I know you're on a fast food boycott, but you're low.
Really?
1.3 billion chicken wings.
I'm proud of America.
Will be eaten this Super Bowl Sunday, according to, and I can't believe you're not a member, according to the National Chicken Council.
The NCC? So that means that's about 500 million chickens.
The NCC.
1.3 billion. Well, it's 650 billion chickens, yeah.
Oh, there are that many chickens?
Oh, yeah, there's
a lot of not anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Not after this weekend.
There were.
True.
One of the busiest wing slingers is Buffalo Wild Wings. There's 1,140 Buffalo Wild Wings around the country. There's also Wingstop with 786 U.S. locations. They both served about 8 million wings on Super Bowl Sunday last year.
Wow.
So there's more than double that.
Okay, here's my question. Who's counting these wings?
There's a guy named Bob. There's a guy named Bob who has to count all the wings. Each Wingstop outlet stores roughly 18,000 to 20,000 chicken wings for the day. So we have a very full walk-in refrigerator. We bring in extra refrigerators on Super Bowl weekend.
I wonder what the most popular spice is, though, like the hot wings.
Traditional buffalo, no question.
Just the plain?
I don't know. I'm a garlic parmesan guy.
But I'm saying most popular. I would bet it's the traditional buffalo
sauce.
Yeah,
I would think so.
Just barbecue I would go with.
No,
I
like not barbecue.
I like the tangy, the sweet and sour.
Hooters sells more than 2 million wings across its locations on Super Bowl Sunday. According to the Hooters, this is great too. You thought the National Chicken Council was great? Mm-hmm. The name of the chief marketing officer at Hooters is Carl Sweat.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Carl Sweat.
22,000 extra wings per restaurant, or 3 to 4 times Hooters average on Super Bowl Sunday. They also have to have an extra 20 gallons of blue cheese at each Hooters restaurant as well.
Got to have the blue cheese.
So there you go. There's your chicken. 1.3 billion chicken wings on Sunday. This is why the world hates us. Actually, this is why the chickens hate us. 6:47. Kevin, can you give me a hat from the National Chicken Council?
I'll call my people.
Yeah. Orion probably knows people on the National Chicken Council.
He's probably been honored by them.
He probably has a trophy.
Yeah.
Orion's in the National Chicken Council Hall of Fame. Mary's back with your traffic trouble spots on a Friday morning, and it sounds like this. The only hope for America's financial future is Elise Glink. Good morning, Elise. How are you?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
I don't put that kind of pressure on you, but come on. Really, you're the only hope.
That's it. Oh, goodness. I'm going to have to get working even earlier this morning.
Jobless numbers about where they thought they would be, I guess?
You know, jobless numbers are sort of interesting. They came in a little bit higher. They were up about 8,000, seasonally adjusted at 285,000. So it's a little bit higher, but the big number to watch there is that they remained under 300,000, and that's considered a level of strong labor market conditions. And that was the 48th week in a row that claims were under 300,000. The big number today that's going to be released in about, 45 minutes or so, is how many jobs were actually added to the economy in January. So what we saw in December, which was sort of an interesting counterpunch, right? We added almost 300,000 jobs in December. That was the best month for hiring since 1999.
Right.
But at the same time, we found out that the fourth quarter barely grew. It was like 0.7% for GDP. A little bit strange, right? So we had a really mediocre Christmas. So it seems like people overhired. Now Wall Street is looking for kind of a big drop off. So the net number of gain of jobs is expected to be under 200,000. So it's a little bit interesting to watch what's going on. And there are sectors that seem to be reversing a little bit. Like, did you see that Shell has announced 10,000 people are getting laid off? Most of them aren't here in the United States, but we're seeing bigger numbers again of layoffs that have to be announced. And so when you combine that with kind of a weak economic look in the fourth quarter and a really strong dollar and the stock market is all over the place, it's sort of an interesting picture.
There is a fascinating Facebook story that broke this week about wasted productivity. Facebook turned 12 yesterday. At least listen to a couple of these numbers. Today, the social network site users are closing in on $3.5 trillion in squandered productivity at work and in their personal lives. There's about 1.6 billion monthly active users. There's not a single country on earth, including China, that has more people than that. Those users are valuable. Facebook makes about $3.73 in revenue per user worldwide. According to quarterly results, market cap numbers factored in, or each of the users is worth about $200 in company valuation. Now, this is where it really gets interesting to me. Facebook users spend an average of 10.5 billion minutes a day on Facebook.
No wonder my tweets aren't getting out.
Is that unbelievable?
That's unbelievable.
Crazy. Here's another one. Assuming they spend the same amount of time today, that means people all over the world have spent a collective in the last 12 years, or I should say in the last 7 years, since 2009, Facebook users have spent a collective 55 million years of time looking at Facebook.
All right, so the question is, how have we evolved as human beings in that 55 million years?
Right? I really think we've changed in a positive way, don't you?
Now I'm happier, and I love seeing pictures of my kids. Does that help?
Yeah, that's a positive. That is a positive. Yeah, right. There's a warmth and a glow there. But there's an average of 20 minutes per day that people waste at work looking specifically at Facebook. Do you guys know of any workplace that tries to limit your social media?
I think there are actually a whole bunch of places that are trying, and it doesn't work quite so well. And it's pretty interesting, right? So you've got customer service reps who sit in front of a screen, and their screens now no longer go anywhere but to the caller and an interactive screen.
Yeah.
That kind of thing is I think, where some employers are trying to get to. But if you're on a line at Ford and you're building cars and you've got your phone and your Facebook on your pocket, you know, you may not be able to control that as well.
But it's for work, Elise. It's research purposes.
Well, see, that's the thing. We can get away with it.
Right.
We can get away with it because everything is show prep.
Yeah.
But in a normal work environment, I mean, I certainly understand the employer's goal to pay you for the work that you do. Mm-hmm. But then, at least in Andrea, there's a question of morale, right?
Right.
You know, if you're never going to let me look at Facebook, maybe I don't like my job as much.
Well, you also have lunch breaks, right? So if the average lunch break is a half an hour and you're spending 20 minutes of it, you know, 10 minutes eating, whatever your sandwich was you brought, and 20 minutes on Facebook, that's a decent amount of lunch.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. You backbreaker, Glink.
The weight of the world is on my shoulders. You told me that.
I did. You know what? I started with that. Why would I be hypocritical now? Thank you for the info. Where are you going to be watching the Super Bowl?
Oh, we're watching at some friends of ours who've got a big house and a big dog, and we're ordering a big bucket of fried chicken. What about you?
You know, I'll be home. I'll be home. I'm going to live tweet the Super Bowl. Is anyone else doing that, Kev, or is it just me? Live tweeting the Super Bowl?
Yes. A few people will be doing it. We'll also have a live blog on WGNRadio.com. There's a plug.
Well, then why should I live tweet it then? If I thought that my live tweet would be special.
Because people want to hear from at Cochran's show.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Okay. And Elise, we need a celebrity Super Bowl pick from you. Who do you have in the game?
I don't know.
All right. Let's put Elise down for an I don't know.
I have an I don't know. They're just, it's too good. Can I go for the ads instead?
Yes, you're picking the Super Bowl ads.
I want to pick a Super Bowl ad. I think the Doritos ad is going to be big.
I haven't looked at those.
They're always really funny.
Yeah, they break
funny,
it down to the
right?
last
yeah,
three
great.
And you vote online. Can you still vote online? Or no, they must have selected it by now.
I think they pick, yeah.
All right, Elise Glink, where do we find you?
At Glink on Twitter or thinklink.com.
Thanks. Talk to you later. Happy weekend. And we're back after this.
We have people negotiating for us who are political hacks. They're the best political hacks in the world. They get their jobs because they give campaign contributions.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
7:11 in the morning, the first non-nude Playboy magazine is out. Playboy magazine without naked women.
Well,
it's called Reader's Digest.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys just read the articles anyway, don't you?
Yeah. So just so you know, it's out and available everywhere. It's still available everywhere.
Is Playboy still as big as it
no,
once was?
Okay. No. You know why? Because I don't know if you know this, there's a lot of naked people on the internet.
If you want to
see naked people, you just go on the internet, they just pop up on you.
To Google naked people?
You could Google Blender and naked people show up.
That's true. Or just go to any of your spam emails and there they are.
It's all over. It's quite something. David Axelrod's book Believer, My 40 Years in Politics, a New York Times bestseller, is out in paperback now and out and available everywhere. And we'll talk to Mr. Axelrod here in just a second. What seems to be the problem, Mr. Axelrod?
Mr. Axelrod is calling right now.
Ah, okay.
I highly recommend this book. It's really good.
It is good.
If you like, politics in general, but Chicago politics, because there's names in there, you know, Stroger and Claypool and Mosley Braun. This is a really good book.
One of the things that I think is really interesting about politics to me, and if you dive down, you don't even have to be a goofball for this stuff like I am. But one of the things I find really interesting about it is you can be really close to the process and get it right, or you can be really close to the process and get it wrong. And I'm going to take this up with Mr. Axelrod here. David, good morning. Nice to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you.
And Believer, My 40 Years in Politics. Get it in paperback. Get two copies. You're careless. You lose the first one.
Thank you.
Add David Axelrod all over social media. I was just referencing how even the most insiders can sometimes get the call right or wrong. And this comes from two things. One is the chunk on John Edwards in the book, which your wife seems to have rescued you from.
Yes, yes.
And then I'm looking at the monitors here, and I see Barbara Bush, a wonderful woman. Really like Barbara Bush.
Yes.
And she's out campaigning with Jeb yesterday, a campaign that I think is going to go down in his history, along with Rudy Giuliani's, as one of the great misses in the last 25 years.
Well, we can have that discussion on Wednesday, because I think Tuesday is his really last chance to break through here. He's planted his flag in New Hampshire, and if he can finish ahead of Marco Rubio and John Kasich and Chris Christie and sort of seize that establishment lane in the Republican race, then he will have salvaged his campaign. But I wouldn't bet the ranch on that.
Yeah, same here. And it's really stunning how badly the miss has happened here, because this is more than just, well, Kasich's not connecting either, Christie's not connecting. It's a non-establishment campaign. Jeb Bush, clearly on the Republican side, is if he's not the most qualified for the job, he's right there. And he has run just an absolutely terrible campaign.
He has, sometimes it's timing. I mean, there's no doubt that he hasn't been a great candidate. There's some people who are just better office holders than candidates. And I also think it's timing. You know, I kind of believe in this replica I write about in the book. One of the things that encouraged me to believe that Obama could win in 2008 was that people generally choose, and particularly the other party, the antithesis of the person in the White House. And he was the antithesis of George W. Bush in his approach to politics and in his bearing and so on, not just his policies. I think Donald Trump is sort of the antithesis of Barack Obama, which is why he's done so well. Jeb Bush, I don't agree with him on a lot of stuff, but he's a thoughtful guy. He gets asked questions like, what are you going to do? You know, other guys are saying they're going to rip up the Iran treaty. And what are you going to do? And he says, well, first I'm going to appoint my cabinet, then I'm going to talk to my allies and so on. Well, that's what you would want a president to do, but that's not what Republican voters want to hear this year. And, you know, so I think in terms of temperament, in terms of approach, he just picked the wrong time to run.
Yeah, and how do you see that coming? In the book, we got to do a quick traffic and we'll come back with David Axelrod. And again, the book is David Axelrod, Believer, My 40 Years in Politics. Really a terrific behind-the-scenes look at the at David Axelrod's life, his career, his family, and all of that. But you make the point in the book, without your wife, you could have maybe aligned yourself with the wrong pony in the wrong race, and your wife maybe saved you from a John Edwards candidacy. So we'll talk about for the sake of the tease.
Let's go to traffic.
Yeah, let's go to traffic and come back. Come back with the John Edwards story in just a second. At David Axelrod on social media, the book again is Believer, My 40 Years in Politics. I think the John Edwards story is germane because it and really an interesting chunk out of the book as well, because most of us who think we know have gotten this race so wrong. So tell me the John Edwards story.
Well, you know, a slight edit to your depiction of it is that my wife did. In fact, I went and met the Edwards. They had lost their media consultant. They wanted someone for their presidential race. This was in 2003 for 2004, and I met with both Edwardses for 2 hours, and I came back and I kind of reported on the conversation with my wife, she listened and she said, don't do the race. And I said, why not? And they had imparted some stories about their lives and, you know, and I shared them with Susan and she said, there's something wrong with this picture. And, the edit I have to make is I didn't listen to her advice. I was so eager to be in the race, in the presidential race, and I thought there was a slot for a populist candidate, and Edwards could fill that slot. And I drove right through my wife's yellow light, and it wasn't a very good experience for me. It wasn't the 2008 experience that the Edwards folks had, which turned into disaster and tragedy. But it wasn't a good relationship. And I came out of that race thinking if I ever did a presidential race again, it was only going to be with someone with whom I had a close, trusting, unbreakable bond and in whom I deeply, deeply believed. And so I thought I was going to sit out the 2008 campaign until Barack Obama decided to run. And then it was clear where I needed to be.
But I think your influence on that race and David, the Davids, as they're called, who have such a good yin and yang through all of that, your experience on it is really interesting to me because I look at a guy like Trump, and I think he's not listening to anybody. And we talk about how guys get overmanaged and overanalyzed, and they sound like robots in these campaigns. And
you wouldn't accuse Donald Trump of that.
No, but I just wonder, is he listening to anybody? And what does it say about his success, at least in the polls so far, if he's not?
I remember Bernie Ebtin, who ran for mayor against Harold Washington in 1983. he was a state legislator, Republican state legislator, and he was asked about Jim Thompson, who was governor at the time, and whether he spoke with Thompson or advised Thompson, and he said, Thompson only speaks to God, and sometimes when God calls, Thompson isn't in. So I think there's an element of that with Donald Trump. And I think he paid a price for it in Iowa because Ted Cruz was very well organized. Trump went in, I think, seduced by polls. You know, he loves to recite polls. The polls were not able to account for the superior organization that Ted Cruz had. And, you know, Trump got inveigled into a fight that he ended up losing, and it damaged his brand because his brand is he's a winner. America's going to win. He always wins. Well, he didn't win that one. So I think there is a price to be paid for this sort of improvisational nature of the Trump campaign. That said, I think he's poised to have a good day on Tuesday, and I think he's going to be with us for a while. I don't think they're going to cancel the series yet.
David, wanted to get your thoughts. That is good.
You know what they need to do? They need to give him a love interest and a cute neighbor kid.
All right. And an annoying best friend,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
David,
this would be a bad time for a love interest.
Exactly right.
Yeah, anyway, go ahead.
Love the book. I love Chicago politics, but I love the references, you know, Stroger, Mosley, Braun, the insights. But I want to get your thoughts on a couple local issues. First of all, Forrest Claypool. I know he's your good friend and former business partner, but wanted to get your thoughts on what he's dealing with now with CPS, and also about Rahm Emanuel, in either order. And if you think the mayor, if you expected all the backlash that he's really received in the city over the past few months.
Well, let me deal with Forrest first. He was my business partner. We first met in the Paul Simon campaign in 1984. There isn't anybody in public life who I respect more than Forrest, and I don't think there's a better public administrator, and I've seen government at every level. I've never met a better public administrator. He reformed the Chicago Park District in the 1990s in a really profound way. He came in, the CTA was a mess 5 years ago. He cleaned up the CTA and its finances. And, you know, I'm gratified that he's taken on the school system because we so need a functioning, fiscally sound but excellent school system. And someone needs to sort that out. But it's, you know, we're obviously at a very difficult juncture. And, I'm rooting for him, and everybody should root for him because the kids, the teachers, everyone has an investment in righting the finances of the school system and making sure that we move forward on a sound footing. In terms of Rahm, you asked, did he expect? I don't think anybody can expect what's occurred. I have a lot of sympathy for him because so much has washed up on his doorstep, including all these fiscal problems that are the consequence of years of action and inaction by lots of different people, and now he has to confront all of that. On the police issue, you know, I wrote in the book about my first real job here in Chicago. Newspaper job was at the Hyde Park Herald when I was a columnist as a kid in college. And the first column I ever wrote as an 18-year-old in 1973 was about Mayor Richard J. Daley, Congressman Ralph Metcalf from the South Side, and their clash over police brutality and community, really. This has been a problem that has been with us through generations. I work for Harold Washington, Harold, there was nobody on the planet who cared more about this issue than Harold. He was a protege of Ralph Metcalf. And John Burge was flourishing during that period. I think if Harold knew about that, he would have stopped it. We've had seven mayors since I've been here, and this problem has plagued. But it's come to a head now in a really serious way, and hopefully it can be an inflection point so that we once and for all confront that issue and restore police-community relations, because we can only fight crime effectively if we do that.
Well, and change so for the sake of change is not always the answer either. There's a lot of things you could go after Rahm Emanuel on and say, I want these done better, and I want more transparency, and I want more of an open relationship, and I want to hear what's going on. and Rahm, you're not friendly, and I don't like you so much. But my question would be, okay, now what? It's the same thing with him removing the police commissioner. Okay, now what? We feel better for the 10 minutes after a change happens, but then what?
Well, I think this is a very important question. I agree with you, and it does point to one tangible thing here that we have to watch. I do think Rahm has a very big decision ahead of him in terms of the next police superintendent, given the kinds of problems that we've had. And I don't mean just problems in police conduct in the community. And let me just say this parenthetically. Nightside reporter at the Chicago Tribune, and I used to cover police stories every night. And I saw some of what we've seen in terms of police abuse of power. But mostly what I saw was heroism. I saw people do extraordinary things, police officers, to protect people, to serve people, and we need that. And so what in dealing with the folks who are guilty of misconduct, and we should deal with them harshly, let's not impugn all those who do a great job. So his decision there is important. But your larger point, Steve, is right as well. Listen, we've got big problems as a community, and what we need to do is rally together and confront them. And, what's happened here is I think there are folks who, for their own political reasons, have sought to inflame here. And Rahm's not blameless. Rahm, I think, has at times not made the connection that he needs to make with people. And, I have no doubt about that. But I also know him to be a very hardworking, determined guy. And he, more than anyone else, knows that, this is on his account now and he needs to solve these problems. And, I think the best thing we can do is put his determination to work here and try and pull together as a community instead of ripping ourselves apart.
Well said by you, sir. David Axelrod, Believer, my 40 years in politics. I'm going to have you talk to Kevin off the air because we need to get a celebrity Super Bowl pick from you as well as we're making a list. And by the way, you've won nothing. But I will throw in a bonus plug. Believer, my 40 years in politics. It's a New York Times bestseller. It really is a terrific book. And again, get two copies. You're careless. You lose the first one. I hope you have a great weekend. I look forward to talking to you again.
I do as well. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks. Hold the line. It's David Axelrod, at David Axelrod on social media.
It's a great book.
Yeah, very
honest,
too.
I really like the book. Yeah.
Very honest.
Great insights into a lot of people.
728, special Super Bowl guest coming up in a second, along with Dan Hampton, the little hamster on the Super Bowl as well. Not that he's not special. We'll get to the big story in a moment on 720 WGN. We've had this guy on before, and before we pick up the phone and talk to Hamp, it's the Super Bowl. It's the biggest football weekend of the year, the biggest sports and entertainment weekend of the year. And you remember we had the old high school football coach on to talk about this before to fire us all up?
Yeah.
Let's go to him now. Morning, Coach. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Cochran.
Yeah, and Coach, I'm sorry I misplaced your name.
Yeah, Jimmy Saggy Pouch Paduchka.
All right, Jimmy Saggy Pouch Paduchka. Can I just call you Coach?
I don't want you to call me anything.
All right. Well, I'm sorry I woke you up. I assume I woke you up, or do you sound like this all the time?
What are you talking about? I don't sleep.
That's right.
I don't believe in sleep. I don't like you, Cochran.
Well,
If you were on life support, I'd unplug you to charge my phone.
All right. Well, we'll come back to Coach because I don't feel inspired at all. It's time for Hamp.
An animal!
Dan Hamp. Dan Hamp anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
He didn't plug me to charge his phone. Wow, that's cold. Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. It seems like it was just yesterday we started this little journey, and here we are at the Super Bowl, Hemp.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, the coach sounds like an overserved Lou Holtz, who I treasure playing for.
You've seen an overserved Lou Holtz. You would know.
I got to tell you, it has been a blink of the eye. And, one of the one of the things we haven't even broached is the fact that, this is kind of like the recheck bowl for us here in Chicago.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Ron Rivera was a coach that was more than qualified to be considered to be the head coach here in Chicago, never was. Of course, the coach we have now was let go at both of these, you know, franchises at some point, Carolina and then, of course, Denver. And so of all the fan bases across the nation, this one has got to be as interested in the outcome of this game as any Super Bowl we've seen in a long time.
This is as close to a Bears Super Bowl as we've been since the Bears were last in the Super Bowl. All right, so the obvious question, I think, comes down to your home territory, and that's defense. Both teams have great defenses, but last week we saw Denver's defense win that game. They got after arguably the best quarterback in the game and certainly one of the best ever in Tom Brady. They got a kid quarterback now, a really good one that they're going up against. But if they get through that Carolina offensive line and cause problems for Cam Newton early and often, why can't they do the same thing they did last week to the Patriots?
Well, three things. Number one, the New England Patriots, they did a better job of protecting Brady at pretty much a number of positions other than the tackles. And the tackles, the offensive tackle struggled. But most importantly, the right tackle was playing against Von Miller. He was really like a fourth-string tackle. And Josh McDipers, the offensive coordinator, did nothing to help him. And once you start ringing up a quarterback early in the game, it changes everything. And even a great one like Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, you hit them early and knock them around. You know, they're a little goofy the rest of the game, and they're rushing and they're jumping reads and they're changing their style of play. And you could tell that the Denver rush got to him early, and it affected the entire game. Now, that being said, Cam Newton is a lot bigger, stronger, and a lot of the pressures that affected Brady as a 35, 6, 7-year-old quarterback ain't going to affect Cam Newton. You know, he's bigger, stronger than any quarterback that's ever played this game. He's as big as – he's bigger than the defensive ends that are going to be rushing him. And all I can tell you is every time – and I'm a fan of Ronnie Rivera and his defense and all that. And I got to tell you, I was always kind of leery of the Carolina offense, that it really didn't have playmakers. It was just kind of a makeshift offense that tried to find a way to get the ball out to Greg Olsen. But every time I looked at the game down the stretch, it looked like Cam Newton was making a first down, whether he was running the read option, whether he was finding a receiver, Ted Ginn, somebody over there. You know, they are better than what you think they are. And, you know, quite honestly, New England had zero running game. Jonathan Stewart, look what he did the first play of the game against Seattle. They want to run the ball. They think they're physical enough to get it done. And Denver's defense, it's a damn good defense. But they're great when they can play with the lead. If they fall behind, all bets are off. Carolina could go ahead and pound them into submission.
All right, so let's look at it from an offensive standpoint for Carolina, because you have a guy who's still a young player, as accomplished as he is. How important is it, Hamp, for Cam Newton and that Panther offense to jump out to that lead, not let Denver get ahead in the game?
You always want to play with the lead. You know, I mean, that's the perfect world. That's you know, optimism to the 10th exponent. But Carolina can play from behind. They have got a team that, you know, that is diverse enough to where they're not going to be one of those teams that, you know, hey, you stop the run and make them throw, you're going to win. No. Hey, they can do a lot of different things. But most importantly, you know, I just really feel like the Carolina defense has probably heard all week how special Denver is. Mm-hmm. And they're probably thinking to themselves, yeah, well, guess what? You know, we're not bad. And trust me, playing against Peyton Manning is a lot different than playing against Cam Newton. Peyton Manning can't get out of trouble. And I think he's going to be, you know, and it's very interesting pass rush. The best players on the Carolina defense are in the middle, the two defensive tackles. This kid, Short, is playing as well as any defensive lineman in football. Of course, we all know about Luke Kuechly. Mm-hmm. And they've got a shutdown corner of it. They're just a real solid, tough defense. And that's the kind of defense that will kind of collapse a pocket on Peyton Manning. And he's not like him. He won't be able to get out of it.
Are the special teams special enough, and can we put up with 3 hours of Phil Sims? Stand by for all of that coming up as we continue with Hamp talking Super Bowl, and we'll get the picks. Celebrity Super Bowl picks continue after 8 with Pat O'Brien, legendary sports genius and guru. And by the way, if you wonder if Pat O'Brien's a genius, you just ask him. You'll clear that, up right away. Yeah. The old football coach is still on hold, Dave. I don't even know if I put him on hold.
I thought he didn't really want to talk
to you. Hey,
coach. What? I've been talking for the last 20 minutes. Who's listening to me?
Well, we're all listening. Of course we are. Listen, Coach, I'm gonna give you a longer shot later in the show.
Oh, that's great, Cochran. Yeah, that's great. You know, if I wanted to kill myself, I'd climb you up your ego and jump to your IQ.
And now back to Hamp. Dan Hampton.
What?
Dan, He'd climb up my ego, and he'd jump my IQ.
I got my very first career start against Peyton. I've always enjoyed, you know, being able to play the people at the top, at the pinnacle of our sport. It seems fitting to play another one of the best of all time to try to win a Super Bowl championship.
Little gift to Hamp, that's Jared Allen. Dan Hampton rejoins us now. Is Jared Allen going to be an impact player Sunday, Hemp?
About as much as that coach you have on hold.
Be careful. The only one he's yelling at is me. So the defenses we've talked about, the offenses we've talked about, special teams going to make a difference in this game?
You know, there's always going to be one play. And go back to the Denver-New England game. You know, it's hard to believe, and we could talk about the semantics of the pass rush affecting Brady, but if they don't miss the first extra point, if they don't miss that, I believe that, you know, Denver couldn't stop New England in the fourth quarter, and New England was all over Peyton. So I'm just saying, that extra point, making them go for two, it changed the complexion of the game, changed everything about it. So special teams always will be very, very important. But the good news for Carolina fans is Jody Camillus is the special teams coach in Denver.
Right. Yeah, exactly. He'll make the call. He'll make the call. He'll play right into their hands. One Bear-related question before we go any further. It appears that Johnny Manziel may be available for the Bears to make a deal.
No.
Hamp, don't we need Johnny Manziel? Don't we need that kind of a headache here in Chicago?
Oh, my God. You know, I do know that at some point they're going to have to address what are we going to do when Jay Cutler's gone, okay? And I understand that there may be little factions of Johnny Manziel is the greatest, you know, out there. I don't see it. I don't believe it. And, my God, let me think about this. Liquored up quarterback that causes a lot of trouble but never really plays. We've never been down that road before, have we?
Yeah, and speaking of 30 for 30, what'd you think?
You know, knowing the story, it's like asking Don Henley what he thought of the Eagles, right?
Yeah, I suppose. You were in the band.
Well, hey, it was a long time ago, but what was so cool was the way, and this kid did a fantastic job of kind of bringing to light the backstory, which was a lot of them, you know, the huge, dynamic of the emotions of the players, the coaches, all the contention and animosity behind the scenes that kind of produced, maybe the most, eclectic team of all time. But I do know this, that so many players, and I saw them, 10 days ago at a reunion, those guys, still, it was hard to believe, but we knew at the time that this this probably would never be done again and had never been done up to that point. And here we are looking at Super Bowl 50. 50 years of Super Bowls, and still to this day, that probably will always be the most, you know, mentioned and talked about football team of all time.
It's the best team ever.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that's
not homerism. Cool. It is the best team ever.
You know, the thing that struck me, Hamp, and I really liked the show. I thought it was really well done. But the multiple scenes of you guys teeing off on opposing quarterbacks, and every one of those, I think today, would have drawn a fine and or a suspension under today's rules. Don't you think?
A lot of it would have, and you know, I hate to say that's the point. We were violently brutal and knocked, you know, quarterbacks around. And if you thought you could throw the ball, well, go ahead. Nobody's stopping you, except can you keep your quarterback healthy enough to finish the game? And that's the way we approached it. And quite honestly, that was the way the game was supposed to be played. Now, we all know about all the things that have come on with the concussion effects and the rule changes and the liberalized receivers. You can't hit a defensive – all those things. Nobody even mentioned that when we played. And you know, it was – I guess you could say all the stuff that, you know, they've implemented and the rule changes, there's a reason why. Us.
Yeah, because, yeah, well, there's no doubt. Football was invented to be overgrown men running into each other at high speeds. You know, it's not Nerf, it's not two-hand touch, and it never will be, at least as long as the game's viable.
When Singletary says, you got 2 seconds,
right.
The quarterback's got 2 seconds back.
Yeah, yeah, make the most of it. You got 2 seconds, enjoy it.
You know, I got to tell you, and again, you know, over the years you forget this and that, but I think my favorite line was, you know, all year long, Dick, you was telling us about how great it was to be at the Super Bowl. I said, okay, we're here. Don't develop amnesia and start putting a curfew on us.
All right, so picks. Dave Ennett.
Carolina 27, Denver Broncos 20.
I don't see that many points being scored. I think Carolina is going to try to come out the way they have the last 2 weeks and really run it up early. They're going to run into that Denver wall. Carolina wins 17-16.
Close one. Okay. I think what out of the last 15 years has only been one Super Bowl of a margin of more than 5 points. I think this is an exception. It's going to be 28-13, the Carolina Panthers and Ron Rivera. 30 years after the Super Bowl he participated in, he wins his own. This will be a big day.
And finally, let's get an expert pick. Andrea?
Yeah, I'm going Denver.
You're picking Denver?
I'm picking Denver.
Got a score?
28-21.
All right. Hamp, a pleasure as always, my friend. We'll wrap it up on Monday.
God bless.
Thanks, buddy.
Go Panthers. Bye.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. 720 WGN. Back on the Steve Cochran Show, 8:12 in the morning, and Maurice White from Earth, Wind, and Fire died. One of the coolest bands, one of the best uses of horns, jazz, funk, fusion, and one of the great musicians/entertainers/sports gurus of all time joins us on the phone for his Super Bowl pick. It's Pat O'Brien. Hello, my friend.
Morning, Steve. How are you? Yeah, 2016 sucks, doesn't it? All these people dying.
It's not good.
Man.
It's not good. Maurice White was only 74.
We say only now.
Yeah, we didn't a while ago, but it is only now, isn't it?
I love when people say, well, it was time to go. Like somebody who dies at when they're 90.
Yeah.
They'll say to me, well, it was time to go. I said, well, now that you're 89. You know? you don't say, well, next year's my time to go.
you know what struck me when I was a kid? You'd always hear people going, people would see an open casket and they go, oh, they look so good. And I always thought, well, not this is actually the worst they've ever looked. They've never looked worse than they do right now.
So, oh, my God. It's Yeah, funerals is a whole other thing, man, I'll tell you. Anyway, I miss you.
Miss you as well, buddy. And at 8:13, I need two things from you. What's your summation of the 85 Bears? Because obviously it's easy for me to say best team ever, but if they're not the best team ever, who was?
Well, I think this year, if Ditka can get his running backs going early, the Bears will win the Super Bowl. I mean, and try to get the refrigerator. Yeah, the 85 Bears were, and I always say football got its start when Joe Namath came in, Super Bowl III, because he brought entertainment and glamour. But the 85 Bears brought, and by the way, some people call them the 86 Bears, because right. That's when the Super Bowl was.
Yes, sir. Moron.
Yeah, but they were entertaining. They had, you know, the fat guy. They had it was great. And Ditka, and it was Chicago, and you know, they were entertaining, man. And by the way, pretty damn good.
Yeah, and you know, we had Dan Hampton on. We have Dan Hampton on all the time, and he was on just a few minutes ago. And the 30 for 30 doc on ESPN is great, because it captures the all the good and got the bad right as well. Because the boys got themselves in a little trouble, too. All right.
Well, they always do. Now they know how to cover it up. So.
Right. But can you imagine if Twitter existed for the 85 Bears?
Oh, God. Can you imagine if Twitter existed for our lives?
yeah, the 90s would have come out a lot differently.
Oh, my God. It's funny how Twitter runs the world now. When Twitter first came out, I thought, do I want to go on something called Twitter?
Right.
I noticed that, but now, you know, it's a great way to communicate and get news.
So you got Cam Newton, you got Peyton Manning. There's your story. I brought this up to Hamp a little while ago. I said, look, they took apart the best quarterback, Tom Brady, last week. Why can't they do it to Cam Newton? But he's a different guy, I guess, right?
Yeah, he is. Well, he's a threat 100 different ways. You know, he's one of like five quarterbacks who's had 50 passes and 50 running touchdowns in a season. And by the way, of those five, and they're all the guys you would think of, most of them lost a Super Bowl. But, you know, the thing about this game is that there are 400 prop bets.
Is that right?
400. And the NFL is not about gambling, by the way. But there are there are 400 prop bets. But Cam Newton is a beast. And, you know, the only hope for the Broncos, I think, and I haven't been following this a lot this year, but the only hope for the Broncos is to keep him off the field, Cam. And, you know, now that Peyton Manning's got a running game, just keep running it down their throat. I hate that.
Yeah, but it's a fact. You're right.
Running it up the gut, you know.
Up the gut and down their throat.
Right, and keep Cam Newton off the field. But Cam Newton is another – he's another type of player, man. A guy never gets tired. He's good. He's enthusiastic. He's fun to watch.
Well, who do you like? Give me a score and a winner.
Okay, well, I like you.
Yes, thanks. I like you back.
I think it'll be – I tell my Bronco fans friend, my Bronco fan friends, pray for Brock Osweiler to come in. I think the Broncos could keep close, but I'm going to pick – I'm going to go with a favorite. It's going to be a low-scoring game, I think. And I think the Panthers will win. And if they do, they'll deserve it. And by the way, the money is on Peyton Manning to make this big splash, but I'm not sure he's – at 39, I'm not sure he's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
No, it's a tough gig. No, it's Willis Reed, if you're old enough to remember. And I got 17-13 Panthers. I agree with you. I think it's a low-scoring game, but I think it's still going to be entertaining. And I just think that Ron Rivera gets one.
I'm going to go with Lady Gaga for about 2 minutes and 13 seconds on the national anthem.
Okay, good.
You mind? I mean, is that okay with you?
No, that's fine. As a matter of fact, I'll cover that and throw a little more in. all right, where do we follow you on social media?
I'm at P.O.B. Pat O'Brien, P.O.B. like Pat O'Brien. The moron got my name, so I'm P.O.B. Pat O'Brien on Twitter.
On Twitter. All right, stand by, buddy. I'll talk to you off the air for a second. It's 8:18, back to traffic, and Mary's here with that, and 720 WGN. /8:23, playing more of the music of my people. Honoring Maurice White. Earth. wind, and fire. Yeah. Dean Richards live at Channel 9.
Love me some Earth, Wind, and Fire.
He's only 74 years old, man. That's not old.
That is not old. He's been living with Parkinson's disease since 1999. That's why he hadn't really appeared with Earth, Wind, and Fire. Really just sporadic performances. But has been battling Parkinson's disease for a long time. And yesterday succumbed to it. But you want to talk about a trailblazer. I mean, first of all, you know, he's from he was born in Memphis, Tennessee. But mm-hmm. as a young boy, moved to Chicago, moved to the South Shore neighborhood where he grew up. He went to school in Chicago, went to the Chicago Conservatory of Music. That's what led him to get a job as a drummer at the legendary Chess Records. He played with Etta James. He played with some of the greats in R&B music through the years. And in the late 60s, I began to develop this Earth, Wind, and Fire sound, which was, you know, so revolutionary.
Well, you had jazz. You got funk. You got fusion. Yeah. And all of it ahead of your time. You take a big band with a bunch of horns, and you make it funky. That's yeah. pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was it was revolutionary. You know, the clothes were revolutionary.
They chafed, I got to tell you.
It was not a comfortable outfit when you're wearing skin-tight clothes like that. And I don't know how many times. I mean, I remember from back in the day, you know, tripping on the bell-bottoms. Because, you know, there was a family of four living under one of my pants legs.
You can absolutely happen, and it's a dangerous, dangerous thing.
Back in
I'll tell you what, if I'm still, from 1979, I'm still finding sequins. I'm just...
in places where you shouldn't find
sequins.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
This band...
It's so gross.
Gross to you is fashion to others, Andrea.
I know,
yeah.
Sorry.
Gross to you. You try having sequins there.
You guys are very bedazzling.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been bedazzling.
That's very true.
That's the other thing Maurice White did. He bedazzled before it was cool.
Before there was the term bedazzling, he bedazzled. But this band, we went on to win 6 Grammy Awards. They were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. September, After the Love Is Gone, Shining Star, Boogie Wonderland. That's the Way of the World, Fantasy. I mean, you go to the theme song from my Sunday morning show. Sunday morning
yep.
is
yep.
An Earth, Wind, and Fire song.
You know the part of That's the Way of the World that I wrote? That's the way of the world. This part. Ow.
Yeah.
That's me. Ow. Ow.
Yep.
They had me in the studio, and one of the roadies would come over and just jam on my toe. He'd just come over and just step right on my toe. If he did it right, you'd hear it. You go, ow.
Right.
Yeah, it's right there in the song.
It's a little understated. Yeah, a little understated. But, yeah, so, I mean, this, I'm, first of all, will musicians please stop dying? This
rough
has
year, man.
Been unbelievable.
Rough year.
He was 74 years old, died in his sleep in Los Angeles. The band is still scheduled to perform at the United Center on April the 1st. They're scheduled to be there with the group Chicago. We're about just a few days after that, we'll go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We'll be inducted. So that's going to be a pretty special night, I would think, with
no
Chicago's
doubt.
Induction, the death of Earth, Wind, and Fire in their hometown. That's going to be a pretty special performance that night.
Sponsored by Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center. Dean will now tell us if there's a movie we ought to see.
There is a movie called Hail Caesar. Steve, this is not the movie that you've been pitching about salad dressing.
Yeah.
Steve has been trying to get this movie made.
Well, the working title was Hail Croutons and Hail Blue Cheese.
Right.
But eventually they went with Hail Caesar, and they picked a different right. I tell you, they changed the whole thing.
They changed the whole thing, because I remember when this was a working script, and you had the movie called Hail Thousand Island.
Right.
That didn't make a bit of sense.
Title's not great for me.
Really. But they
Ow.
You get the Coen brothers involved. They've got this movie, Hail Caesar. If you're a film fan, you've got to see this movie. Because this movie is especially made for film fans. If you like nuances and innuendos and little tributes to movies and movie-making eras, that's what this is about. It's set in the 1950s, when the studio still controlled every aspect of what was happening on and off the screen. The studios had these guys called fixers who would just kind of clean up after the actors, and, you know, people working in Hollywood
Yeah, that's a Josh Brolin character, right?
Yeah, that's the Josh Brolin character, exactly. And he cleans up a Nestor Williams-like swimming star becomes pregnant. He cleans up after that mess. George Clooney is kind of this clueless A-lister. He gets kidnapped by a group of disgruntled writers who want him to join the Communist Party with them, headed by the guy that played Newman on Seinfeld.
Oh, Wayne.
Wayne Knight.
Yeah.
Wayne Knight. It's just little tidbits of little things that are so funny. There's a seven-minute scene in this movie of Channing Tatum, who does Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly-like song and dance number that steals the movie. It's amazing. But a singing cowboy, one little character after another, one little mini-story after another. This is the kind of movie, though, where the little bits and pieces of it are stronger than the movie as a whole. I still love the movie. I still find it very entertaining. And I'm highly recommending Dean's List B+ on Hail Thousand Island.
Well, that's worth it. Hail Thousand Island, Hail Caesar.
Keep forgetting that we changed the name.
Before we run out of time, give us one we should avoid.
One to avoid this week, and I haven't seen it because they haven't screened it for the critics, but it's getting terrible early reviews. The movie called The Choice, it's the latest Nicholas Sparks movie. Love story, you know, beautiful, passionate, two people, you know, fall in love. They're perfect for each other. They're living the great life. It's the wonderful love story of all time. Oops, tragedy happens in a way that only Nicholas Sparks can provide, according to all the descriptions on this, getting massively bad early reviews on that. So even if you may be looking for some kind of romantic story this week, doesn't sound like this one's the one to go see.
All right, buddy. I'll let you get back to TV. Thanks, man.
Ow.
Ow. And by the way, here Dean Sunday. Let's do this. Quick break and back with your big story in a moment on 720 WGN. Is this more Earth, Wind, and Fire? This sounds like the opening to the Super Bowl pregame.
It could be. Ah, let's rock that by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I don't know this one.
Jam.
Wasn't on my list, was it?
Yeah, it was.
No one.
Oh, I just mixed it in there.
Yeah, you kind of ad-libbed, didn't you?
Ad-libbed
a little bit. 8:41. The old football coach is calling back again. From last hour, we'll get to him in just a second.
Why is he called back again?
Why does he want to talk to you?
I don't. Well, I'm not sure he wants to talk to me. Just yell at me.
To yell at him.
From the 219, I'd rather have 3 hours of Phil Simms than 3 hours of Joe Buck. Here's the thing. I like Phil Simms. I've talked to him off and on for 30 years. Mm-hmm. He's a nice guy. And he was a great quarterback. Barring his concussion issues, he may have been even greater. But Phil Simms is a terrible analyst. And Phil Simms, in combination with Jim Nance, another great guy, by the way, but Jim Nance doesn't say anything. Here's Pat Summerall. Was perfection in not saying anything. Pat Summerall, and our friend Frank Caliendo does a great Pat Summerall impression.
I like Frank Caliendo.
Aikman. Pass. Touchdown. That's the whole thing. That's the entire call, right? And I like Joe Buck, though I know a lot of people, Joe Buck drives them crazy. But Dave, you do this. Mm-hmm. You're one of the best there ever was.
Go Cats.
Who you work with matters. And how much you defer to them is part of the chemistry, right?
Yeah, I think, well, and television and radio are totally different in that regard.
Radio's harder.
Yeah, well, but radio, it's more on the play-by-play guy. And television, it's more on the analyst.
Yeah,
so who's sitting in that seat, whether it's John Madden or Chris Collinsworth or Troy Aikman or... if Phil Simms.
Well, the brilliance is but that's what I was starting to say. The brilliance of Summerall and Madden was Summerall's lack of saying too much combined with Madden's ability to say too much. So, yeah, not a lot from Summerall. You got a lot from Madden, but you're always interested in what Madden had to say. Phil Simms isn't interesting.
He's just not. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, he's... He knows the game. There's no question.
Sure, he knows the game, but it doesn't mean you're a great analyst just because you know the game.
Great analyst. No, you're right. You're right.
The Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth combination, I think, is probably the best that's out there now.
Do you remember Pat Summerall and Tom Brookshire?
Sure, of course.
That was very entertaining.
Yeah,
but again, I mean, Summerall always had the less is more.
Yep.
attitude, as did, I don't know if you
Staubach. Pass. Touchdown.
Right, exactly. Well, do you remember Ray Scott?
Oh, well, a little before my time, but I know his work.
But he was very similar.
Uh-huh.
It was Brody for Washington.
Right.
You know, that was it.
Yeah.
I mean, that, and it was great.
So for people, and there's only been a couple, but for people that that are defending Phil Simms, I don't dislike Phil Simms. Mm-hmm. I like Phil Simms. I just don't like him as an analyst. All right, the coach is standing by. I was trying to avoid having this happen, but let me go back to the coach. Good morning, coach.
Yeah, yeah, save your breath, Cochran. You'll need it to blow up your date. You know, I'm watching you on the stream there.
Yeah, the video stream. Well, look at you, Mr. Hip, Mr.
That's
Tech.
Great. Yeah, that's way to dress up for work, Cochran.
Oh, wow.
Hey, why don't you slip into something more comfortable, like a coma?
That's pretty harsh. What did you do to him?
I didn't do anything. I'm just a little casual today, that's all. You get up some days and you go, I just don't feel like putting on pants.
What'd you do to upset him, though?
Yeah, what did I do to upset you?
You're Cochran.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at your face, Cochran. Yeah. I can see why you're on radio.
No, that's funny. That's very funny.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Yeah, that's real funny, ain't it? Yeah, it looks like your face caught fire. Somebody put it out with a bat.
Boy.
What's the coach won? What's he won?
Coach, could you give us your coaching record? Where were you actually a coach?
Oh, dang.
I'm 1,006,004.
That's a great record.
Is that Dave Ennett?
That's Dave Ennett. Yeah, he's here. Yeah.
Yeah, I coached Dave Ennett. I remember that about 40 years ago. I coached that little tyke. Yeah, he was the best nickelback we had. He'd bring me a towel, I'd give him a nickelback.
Oh, all right, Coach. Listen, it's great hearing from you. I know you've been on hold a lot this morning. You don't have to hold on.
Yeah, your show's going great. It's right in the crest of a slump.
I just, every time I look at the phone, he's back on the
line.
You
must have done something to anger the guy.
I don't remember.
And now he's all over Ennett.
Yeah, I don't remember playing for him.
It's 8:45. We got to take a break for traffic. We'll come back and join Jared Payton live at the Super Bowl. The whole Payton family is there, of course, for the Man of the Year Award this weekend. But first, let's get Mary. It's 8:49. Here's some of the prop bets. I was just looking at these. Number of times Archie Manning is shown during the broadcast, the over-under is only 1.5.
That's way low. Yeah. I would go under there.
I'd say 10. No,
I mean, I'd say
another
over,
prop
over.
Bet. Will there be an earthquake during the game? 10-1.
No.
Will the team that wins the coin toss win the game? Simple yes or no. How do you make any money on these bets? Let's see. We got one more in here.
I say yes.
I have a list of the actual bets in Vegas that they are taking bets on.
Is
all these prop bets are legitimate bets.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. But these are. Now, here's one you'll like. Who will have more Rory McIlroy in the Dubai Desert Classic? Will he number of holes over par? Quarterback sacks by Broncos defense.
So what's the higher number?
What's the higher number?
Okay.
I mean, who would possibly bet?
Listen, your explanation gave me a headache. How would I even do
the
bet?
That's what I'm saying. How do you figure these out?
I don't know.
Will Iowa have more points in the first half against Illinois Sunday than the Broncos and Panthers combined for in the game?
No.
That's an actual prop bet.
That's insane is what that is. Hey, Coach, no, really, you could hang up.
I ain't hanging up, Cochran. You're stuck with me.
Well, we've got Jared Payton on the phone, so I'm going to have to check back with you later.
Yeah, you do whatever you want, Cochran. I'm trying to picture you with a personality.
You got any music before we go to Jared? Give me a little something. Yeah. Remembering Maurice White. The leader of Earth, Wind, and Fire passed away yesterday at 74. And it's one of the biggest hits ever. Do you remember when it was like September? Love was changing the mind tonight while chasing the clouds away. And the horns would all be choreographed. The horns dancing. Man, I'm just Earth, Wind, and Fire. I love Earth, Wind, and Fire. I opened for them once. I was supposed to do like 20 minutes. I did like 5 minutes, and I said, who wants to see Earth, Wind, and Fire? Because I'm sick of me. 8:52, and Walter Payton, 30-plus years ago now, 30-plus years ago and 4 days ago, was part of the greatest team of all time. Then the 30 for 30 we've been talking so much about on ESPN, featuring the story of the Super Bowl and the story of that team. It has been a pleasure to have Jarrett Payton be a part of this company, and he's doing great things over there at Channel 9 as well, and he joins us now live from the Super Bowl, where tomorrow night they will do the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. The whole Payton family there is there, I'm sure. Jared, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, guys. Good morning, family.
There you go. Thanks for getting up. And when did you get in?
Well, this is the funniest thing. I don't know if anybody's following me on Snapchat at Payton Sun, PaytonSun. It was the funniest thing. We get it to the gate, and they tell us that our plane is delayed yesterday. We're supposed to leave at 10 o'clock. Next thing you know, Steve, I walk up, and I see Matt Sui's son, Joey, and I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I'm going to the Super Bowl. I'm like, what? Wait a minute. And we start talking, and as soon as we're talking, this lady and a family walking up in their Bears uniforms, one of the ladies has on a Payton jersey. So I'm talking to Matt Sui, and then Matsui's son, and then I see a lady walk up with a 34 jersey on, and it was just kind of like amazing. Plus the 30 for 30 was on yesterday, so I ended up getting...
That's your dad, man. That's your dad orchestrating that little meetup.
pretty amazing. So we got here about 12 yesterday. Oh, no, we left 12 yesterday and got here a little bit later than we were supposed to, but my wife and I walked around San Fran and got some food and got some waters for the... Because I have a, you know, I'm 10 weeks, I got a baby girl coming, so we had to make sure that she had enough water as we were walking around this great city.
Were you boiling it, too? You know, keep boiling water nearby in case you need to actually deliver?
No, we're good. Doc said she's good enough to go on this trip, so we're getting a little vacation before we have to start using more diapers and stuff like that.
Well, you got a great family. Where are your sister and your mom now?
They are right down the hallway. We're about to get ready to, in a little bit, to head out to go to the commissioner's speech and also the man of the year speech for the press conference. And then we have today the Walter Payton Man of the Year luncheon as well. So we get to hang out with Benjamin Watson from the Saints, Anquan Boldin from the 49ers, and also Eli Manning from the Giants. So I look forward to getting to know
it's a good group.
These guys. I know Anquan Boldin very well, but I don't know the other guys. I saw Benjamin Watson getting onto the elevator yesterday, and he just started laughing because we follow each other on Twitter, and he's like, I know you. He's like, this award, and he just couldn't stop talking about how wonderful it is and how he's just so honored to be a part of these three finalists.
Well, explain what the Man of the Year Award is for people who don't know and why it means as much as it does to your family and the memory of your dad.
You know, it was back in my dad won the award a long, long time ago, but in 1999, they changed it over to the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, which was Super Bowl 34, the Rams versus the Titans. And it was really it's about not just being a great football player. It's about being, you know, a good person off the field and what you do in your community and giving back in service. And it highlights, you know, all these guys and some of the great things that they're doing in the NFL. We see, you know, with some of the stuff, especially this morning, I've already turned on the TV and watching about all the bad stuff that's going on, Steve. There's a lot of guys in the NFL that are doing great work, yep. And they don't get to hear about it. And so this award basically kind of magnifies that. And Nationwide has jumped on as a sponsor, and Roger Goodell has really helped my family and I just really take this to another level. So we're very appreciative, and it keeps my dad's spirit and his legacy alive.
You will announce that the winner will be announced at the awards tomorrow night, or will it come out today?
No, we'll come tomorrow night. I don't even know. I won't know till tomorrow morning.
Oh, tomorrow morning. So, okay.
Yeah, maybe you and I have our.
Yeah, you'll text me and I won't tell anybody.
Yeah, that's how we'll do it.
All right, now before I ask you about the game, plug the TV show.
Oh, CLTV, we get a chance. It's called Sports Feed, Sunday through Thursday. Josh Friedman and myself
We talk about everything local in Chicago and Chicago sports, and we do it with a little bit of a social media twist. So you can catch us at 6 o'clock on CLTV, and hopefully, you know, more people will sit and watch it. We're really getting our stride right now. Like we're finding our groove to a show and our chemistry, and so I'm really proud of the show. I'm proud of our producer Larry, who helps us really take this to another level. So hopefully, people can watch it.
Yes, and I hope they do. And we already told you, follow Jared all over at Peyton Sun, PAYTONSUN. All right, so you played at the highest level. You get the game. Mm-hmm. It's in your blood, literally. So who do you like? Any chance of an upset? Because Carolina is certainly everybody's favorite.
No upset, Steve. You look at Carolina. Cam Newton is just playing on a totally different level right now, and his confidence and where the confidence of this Panthers team is. I mean, as much as you have to tip your hat to Denver because of that defense, I think that's what keeps them in it. If they can't establish a run, I just don't know offensively, do they have enough defensively? I don't think the Panthers get enough credit for how good they've actually played as well. And so your best bet is trying to keep Cam Newton off the field. But if you do that, and I know they have great rushes with, you know, Von Miller, but still, you have to be able to be very disciplined in how you rush Cam Newton and this kind of their offensive and giving the reads that they have. They leave so many running lanes, and Cam Newton right now is one of the best. He's the MVP in my book. There's no way. And I have to cheer for, come on, Peanut Tillman and Ron Rivera.
Yeah, it's tough.
Those are my guys. I got to make sure they get a ring.
No, it's tough. Well, you got a kid from Naperville who's playing very well for Denver. You got the Peyton Manning story. I mean, it lines up to be a really fun Super Bowl.
Yeah, we just want to see a really, really good game, and hopefully, you know, we see one of those ones that becomes like an instant classic. And but both teams are very deserving to be here, so looking forward to the game. And everybody here in San Fran has been very gracious every time we walking around. People are going, I was walking down the street, and they're like, hey, that's Steve Cochran's friend right there. Jared.
Yeah, man, you get that a lot. I'm not surprised. I did get a text from Steve Harvey. He's picking the Jaguars. So did not see that coming. Give me a score in the game Sunday. You got Carolina by how much?
I got them by, I think my score was 27-21, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe that's exactly what Dave Ennett picked.
No, I had 27-20, but obviously I'm up the right track here. I mean, I think I'm.
You're up something.
If we're locked in on this one, Jared and I think we're in good shape.
At Peyton Sun, PAYTONSUN. Have a great Super Bowl weekend, buddy. Congrats on the CLTV show. A hug to your mom and your sis, and we'll see when you get back.
All right, love you guys, and my wife says hello. And okay. Dave, I love you, Dave. And
love you too, JP.
And go rub your wife's feet. It's 9 o'clock. Woman's going to have a baby soon.
Yeah.
About that. We're on the Steve Cochran Show, all-time top 10 of Earth, Wind, and Fire songs. This is, I'm going to check the list. Well, this will be number 4. Got to get you into my life. Maurice White, dead at 74. Been sick for quite a while. Man, I love Earth, Wind, and Fire. And Earth, Wind, and Fire, there's a lot of terrible music in the 70s. I mean, we listened to some crap.
I always liked disco, though.
You weren't old enough to remember the 70s.
That's true. And flashbacks.
But the 70s music that we had included Billy, Don't Be a Hero, Melanie, Brand New Key.
We had like Bread.
If.
And if, Water.
And oh.
If a picture paints a thousand words. Yeah. Rocket, Bread. England, Dan, and John Ford Coley. I mean, there was some crap. And then there were geniuses like Barry Manilow, but there was some great music too. You got Elton John, you had Billy Joel, and you had Earth, Wind, and Fire. Earth, Wind, and Fire. I mean, come on. Maurice White, some of the music of Maurice White featured today. It's 9:12 in the morning, and before we get some of these prop bets, we asked our friend David Plyer to come in. David does a great job on weekend shows here, but in David's grown-up world, he actually has a real job, and he's one of the – are you one of the founders of this company?
Yes. Been around a long time.
And it's called Retail First.
Retail First.
And you know something from Super Bowl, from marketing, from money, and from commercials. So before we get to that, you got breaking news?
I do, yeah. We're following a story. It's just a crossing now in Dublin, Ireland. Shots have been fired at a boxing weigh-in as a gang dressed in military uniforms burst into this hotel in Dublin. Two people believed to be seriously injured. Way too early to say if this is in fact a terror attack, but three men apparently burst into the foyer of this hotel dressed in police style and military uniforms, armed with what witnesses are saying were AK-47s, fired a number of shots. People still seen fleeing from that hotel. Again, this is very early, Steve, but we can confirm two people have been seriously injured. So we'll keep following this, of course, throughout the morning.
Let's start with an old spot, a classic spot, maybe the most famous Super Bowl commercial of all time. I guess Apple would be right up there in the start of the personal computer era.
Sure.
But everybody remembers this.
Want my Coke? It's okay, you can have it.
No.
Really, you can have it.
Okay.
Coke and a smile makes me feel good.
Toss them in Jersey. They recently did a reunion,
yeah,
right?
I saw that,
with the grown-up kid.
Yeah.
That kid's got to be... my
35, 40, he's not that old. No, I mean, he's
young.
Not that young.
Not that young,
yeah. I meant to say.
That was sort of revolutionary back in the day because it was out of the box. You didn't see it coming. It was emotional heartstring stuff.
And they weren't that important. The commercials weren't that important back then.
They were really commercials.
Yeah, they were just commercials. Yeah.
So when you had one that stood out, it got talked about. When did the changeover happen where the commercials became, you know, if not equally important to the game, certainly a draw?
That was probably the year, but the one before that would have been Joan Namath and Farrah Fawcett doing the Noxzema commercial in the early 70s. That one got a lot of buzz because she was hot, he was hot in football. And it was just odd that a lot of football players weren't doing spots back then. So that became a little buzzy.
And was that the one where she was shaving him?
Yes, exactly.
And by the way, I don't mean that in a surgical sense.
No.
Not at all.
Budweiser, for years and years and years, because of the Clydesdales and
the
hook with the Clydesdales,
that's right,
always came up with something that was memorable. And one of the most memorable that jumps to mind for me was the bowing of the Clydesdales' heads to New York after 9/11, which I'm telling you now, you can go back and look at that online. It'll still make you cry.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. And actually, over the years, Budweiser is actually the largest advertiser during the Super Bowl. So, and they've got just so many brands out there, so they've got different avenues to do certain things and always make you laugh, obviously.
You know, I used to love, in the past, going to the Super Bowl parties, and then you say shh when the commercials come on,
right,
and everybody
not with the
watches.
Game, but the commercials.
The commercials. Yeah. And now I don't like the fact that they release them early.
I agree.
Now you can just go online.
There's no surprise factor.
Yeah.
What is the advantage of the teasers? Because you get media coverage of them and you get more bang for your buck?
Well, you think about how much you're spending on it. So they're spending $4.8 million. It probably costs another $500,000 to produce the spot. So they want to get the best bang for the buck. But when you think about like what commercials cost on other shows, like Big Bang Theory on CBS or Empire on Fox, you're paying, you know, $380,000 for 19 million people. All this comes out to be about 2 cents. And during the Super Bowl, it ends up being about 4 cents a person. So it's not that much higher. It's double, but it's not that much higher. But what you're getting is you're getting, I was just talking to Dave about this, brand recognition.
Sure.
Days before the game. We're talking about it now. People are watching it online. Yeah, you're right, Dave. You get bored with it a little bit by the time it actually hits the air. But you're getting a lot of buzz in social media. So everyone is seeing these spots more than once. And you're usually paying for a spot to be seen once. You're seeing it about 6 or 7 times before and after. So brand recognition is like up 300% when you watch a Super Bowl.
How big a deal is it to companies to decide when to pre-release?
You know what? They don't want to blow it too quickly, but it's usually within 72 hours because once it's out there, a lot of people did it last weekend already, and I'm bored seeing these already. Like, right. I'm like, I can't wait till it's over.
Like the Hyundai one?
Exactly.
It's funny. The one
the
Kevin
Hart,
Hart
one's very funny.
Very funny. About the daughter going on the
But day. I think the closer, the better because, you know, we're talking more about Super Bowl now than we did earlier in the week. So I think the buzz is about doing it 72 hours, 48 hours in advance.
Now, there's some classic misses that happen. Now, you've been in these meetings where you sit down and you got a big client and the client's looking for ideas, and either the agency or the marketing firm gets together and they go, we got three things, we got five things, we got ever, whatever. We got our favorite. Here's our favorite.
Yeah.
But there's commercials that end up on the Super Bowl. You go, how? When there's hundreds of people in the approval chain, how does it happen? You remember, it was either last Super Bowl or the year before, and I think it was Nationwide Insurance.
Oh, it was last year.
It was last year. With the kid that died?
Yeah, it was horrible.
Oh, horrible.
Yeah.
Oh,
my gosh.
In the middle of the biggest party in America for the year.
It sucked the life out of
it. It was unbelievable.
It was terrible. It was terrible. It's that and then the ones that you don't remember at all, or you laugh so hard at it, you remember the commercial itself, but you have no idea what brand it was and what they were advertising. That's a pure fail.
And in the business of marketing, that's got to make you crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Big loss of money.
You know what's got to be great, though, for the marketing community is I love the Doritos concept of create your own video or make your own commercial.
Yeah.
You know, on every level.
There's three of them out there right now that you can, the voting is closed, but you can watch them I think it's Doritos.com or CrashTheSuperBowl.com. And these people produce these spots for $1,000.
$1,000.
$1,000. So when you think about how much people are spending on this, and those are usually turn out to be the funniest spots.
We had a Chicago guy in this last year, Kev, didn't we?
We did. He won the Doritos.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
I
remember that. Was
that the flying pig?
No. His was the one where you put the chips into the cardboard machine and you come out.
That was
time
great.
Travel.
Yeah, it was a time machine.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was a time machine. Now, sometimes you can miscast and miss. One of the problems in this business and in show business in general, which includes advertising, is you get too hip for the room. Mm-hmm. There's a show on HBO, which is a very funny show. It's called Silicon Valley. Yes. Mike Judge is the Beavis and Butthead King of the Hill guy.
Yeah.
It's a Mike Judge show. Mm-hmm. But it's about these – it's like Big Bang Theory with cursing and sex, but like real cursing and real sex. But it's got all of these guys in it who are not household names.
Right. So, T.J. Miller being one of them.
T.J. Miller. When we come back, I want to play the commercial you gave us
one
from
of the
T.J. Miller.
Ones, yeah.
And then you tell me if it's a miss or not because the public's not going to know him. How brand sensitive do you have to be? You put somebody in as a celebrity, you're paying for the celebrity, but maybe people don't know the celebrity, that kind of thing. 920, more in a moment on 720 WGN. All right, so we mentioned T.J. Miller. T.J. Miller is a very funny stand-up comedian. He is one of the stars of this HBO Mike Judge show, which is called Silicon Valley, and he is cast in a commercial for what, David Platt?
It's for Shock Top Beer, and setting this up a little bit, because some of these are very visual, he's sitting at a bar, and the beer tapper, the Shock Top Beer tapper, is talking to him.
All right, here you go.
Hey, okay, right there, ready.
TJ, over here, little orange head, flavorful body.
What do you bought?
I like your style.
What are you? What is you?
Yeah, you look like an unemployed Civil War general.
Yeah, well, there's not a lot of work for Civil War generals right now.
You look like you're about to get evicted from your parents' basement.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You look like you've recently been evicted from your parents' orange crate.
You look like you're on a cleanse that doesn't work.
Do you realize that your sunglasses move when you talk?
It's kind of my thing.
It's terrifying.
You look like your pet turtle is the only one you can lean on for emotional support.
Derek's a good listener. Was it difficult to give up your dream of becoming a punk rocker to manage an electronics store in San Diego?
You look like you were raised in the wild, but your dad, Wolf, worked a lot.
Well, yeah, so you had to bring home that wolf bacon. Do you consider fresh-squeezed orange juice murder?
You look like a toddler who took a growth serum.
And you're a citrus snowboard instructor?
You look like an out-of-work magician.
It's a hobby.
I feel like you peaked in middle school.
You're awfully sassy for someone without a torso.
I think your superpower is breathing heavy.
That would be a pretty good superpower, actually.
People would know you're there.
Mm-hmm. Now, your mother was an orange. Was your father medical marijuana?
You look like you broke your yoga mat.
Do you even have eyes under there?
Hey, I got a movie idea for you.
Okay.
This loser walks into a bar.
Hmm.
Okay, it's called Right Now.
Touché. Or is it touch? Touching.
Who is the guy, the other guy?
The actor who played the voiceover, I don't know.
And by the way, it's reminiscent of a scene that's the concept is lifted right out of the 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah.
Where
it's nonstop.
Yeah, where you have these insults. Two guys sit next to each other just insulting back and forth. Remember, you know how I know you're gay? Because you like Coldplay? Ties into this weekend as well.
Dave, I call that a typical morning.
Yeah,
you're between these guys.
Yeah, kind of.
I bet.
All right, so can you miss if you pick the wrong celebrity?
Absolutely, if it doesn't blend well with the brand. I'm not quite sure about there's a Budweiser spot with Helen Mirren talking about drunk drivers. It's impactful, what she's saying, but I'm just not quite sure if she was the right person for that. So there's a perfect example.
There's been two companies this year that have decided not to spend as much, and I think Budweiser is one of them, right?
Yep,
they drop one?
Yeah, they drop one, and Doritos actually drop one. They usually show the best two commercials. They're only showing the best one this year.
What about Pepsi?
Pepsi does have a spot that they're going to be doing right before the halftime show, and it's going to be a dedication to all the halftime shows that have appeared over the years because they were the first ones to sponsor Michael Jackson. I think it was in 93, and that was the first big Super Bowl halftime show. Before that, it was like marching bands, and if you could believe that, there was not much going on.
So are these celebrities—
Up with people.
Like, up with people. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Like Helen Mirren, Kevin Hart, did they get Boku Bucks to do this, or is it a, hey, you know, I really want to be in a Super Bowl ad, I'll take a cut.
They could get up to about $250,000 for something like that. I was telling Steve, Scott Baio's in that. He's probably getting about $500. Dollars.
Scott Baio's getting Scott Uber. Baio. Scott Baio, free Uber.
That's right.
But it's like Lil Wayne, Seth Rogen and Amy Schumer. That one has not been, it's been just barely teased, but that's probably one of the most anticipated ones is for a Bud Light party, and that's Amy Schumer and Seth Rogen. But Alec Baldwin, Ryan Reynolds, Christopher Walken, Liam Neeson, Odell Beckham Jr., Serena Williams. Serena Williams has got a really good one.
Yeah, we're going to play that clip here in just a second.
Yeah, not necessarily funny, but impactful, talking about, you know, what they've overcome in their life and overcoming negative labels in life.
What's funny is this is a commercial for Mini Cooper. In other words, if you're in a Mini Cooper, it doesn't mean you're a particular type of person.
Yeah.
Defy labels. Here's the commercial. Yeah.
Wow, I've had to deal with a lot of labels. Too strong, too sexy, too focused on tennis, mean. Too strong, what does that mean? I don't know. It just means that I'm stronger than you. Getting past those labels for me, pretty much really easy because I define myself. It always motivates me to be the best that I can be and to just go out there and do nothing less than to win. I think I get my confidence from the way I was raised. My mom, she was really, really confident. She always taught me to be a very confident individual. Mini is a car brand that doesn't try to be like every other car brand. It tries to be itself. It's unique. People always knew me with the yellow Mini with the checkered top. That defined me. Don't worry about what anyone else thinks, about what anyone else says, or how anyone else would want to label you. No one can define you. Only you can define you.
Mini Cooper. The only downside in why this spot doesn't work is in the end, Serena tries to get in and drive off the set. She can't fit in the car.
Oh, come
She's
on.
She's too muscled up.
That's great. It's impactful, though.
It is impactful. And then there's a couple other ones to look out for. Doritos, you know, if they show this one, at least go online and watch them. There's one about this woman's getting her ultrasound, and the husband's eating a bag of Doritos, and he notices as he's eating them that the baby on the ultrasound is following the Dorito.
Oh, that's cool.
And the wife gets ticked and grabs it out of his hand and throws it, and then the baby shoots out of her.
That's
kind of funny. It's one way to deliver.
And then Heinz was doing this one with hot dogs jumping into these big oversized ketchup, which Chicago can't handle.
I heard that there was criticism, because they were jumping into the ketchup.
Superdog got involved in this nationally.
Said, you don't put ketchup on a hot dog.
Yeah, they said, we're not with you on this one.
That's pretty funny. Yeah.
All right, so come Monday morning, are we going to be talking about these, or are we going to be disappointed in these?
You know what? From what I've seen so far, and you think about all the spots, 40-plus spots that are going to be playing, I think we might see a couple great highlights, but we might overall, we're in this political correctness world where everything's not as edgy as it used to be.
Yeah,
so I don't think we're going to be as excited as we've been in years past.
Retail First website?
RetailFirstCorp.com.
You on the radio tomorrow?
I am.
What time?
2 to 5 overnight, Saturday night. Jared Payton's going to join us as well.
Good.
Hang out. Talk about 50 years of Super Bowl commercials, all kinds of good stuff.
Nice to see you, David Plyer.
Thank you,
thanks for
having
me. Let's get the big story next on 720 WGN. Horns. I played all the horns. Actually, I played a car horn in this one. To clear, I love Earth, Wind, and Fire. Maurice White, rest in peace, 74 years old, and he passed away yesterday. Some of the other prop bets, will Mike Carey be wrong about a challenge? Mike Carey's the CBS referee on staff that they go to for rules.
Yeah.
That's an actual prop bet. Mm-hmm. Over-under for the total number of television viewers at 117 million. That's an actual prop bet. Will the referee have to redo the coin toss? That's only 20 to 1. I'd never seen that in my entire life watching football. That should be 1,000 to 1.
Right.
A number of personal foul flags for late hits on Peyton Manning. Over-under is 1.5. Over-under for Cam Newton is 0. And it goes on.
That was for what? For towels?
And on. Late hits.
Oh, late hits.
Oh, Cam Newton? I would take the over. For the amount he runs down the field?
Yeah, it's true. You would get a late
hit.
I mean,
he's sliding
like
in and
bet.
A guy comes flying in.
Safe bet. Yeah, it does.
Over-under time Newton will appear on screen smiling. 3 minutes and 15 seconds.
The entire game.
So that's total time? Mm-hmm.
Who's the guy counting that? Just sits there with a timer the whole game?
And do they have?
And how do you fight that if you disagree with the answer?
Yeah. Do you have one person watching all of these? Like, that's a lot of people.
No, it's the same person who's counting the chicken wings.
Yeah, so that guy is busy, man. You talk about Sunday being a work day. Holy mackerel.
Overtime.
Let me go to the phone because the old coach is still standing by. Oh, good morning, no. Coach.
Yeah, good morning, Cockrell.
Coach, you've been on hold now for over 3 hours. What do you think of the show?
Yeah, the show's really good. You know, you're multi-talented, Cochran. You can talk and tick me off at the same time.
Well, that's great. That's great. Coach, are you still coaching?
Yeah, I'm still coaching.
And what do you coach now?
Pee-wee football.
You work with little kids?
You're darn right I do. Nobody older than 7. I show them what life is all about.
What's one of the lessons you tell them?
I tell them to shut up and get money.
Words to live by.
Well, shut up and get money. You should probably write that down. Well, Coach, I really appreciate you being on. We're going to run out of time soon. Bill and Wendy are going to be on.
Yeah, Bill and Wendy. They both got 2 brain cells. One's in a wheelchair, the other one's pushing.
What?
That's pretty funny, but geez.
It's 9:46. It's funny when he insults me. Sometimes it's funny and I don't even understand it. Funny shot on Channel 9 this morning. It's Dean, Paul, and Tom Skilling sitting next to Pat Tomasulo. It's a new boy band, 3 bald guys in the hair.
That was funny.
It's 9:55. Bill and Wendy coming up. I gotta get rid of the coach. I mean, I know he's a distinguished old coach, but I just can't get him off the phone. I gotta get rid of him.
Maybe it says something that maybe there's an underlying like that he has for you because he's been hanging on the phone for so long.
Oh, you think that there's so much heat? It's kind of like when you're in school and a boy pulls your hair when you're little.
Exactly.
Yeah, because he didn't know how to tell you he loves you.
He can't pull your hair. He just hangs on the phone.
Yeah. I bet that's it. Let me go back to the coach one more time. Coach!
Hey, Cochran.
Is it true that you don't dislike me? You actually really like me and you like the show?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Oh, you know what? For the first time, you sound reasonable, Cochran. Check your watch and it's probably time to take medication.
You know what? You're close.
Yeah, you know what? Stupidity's not a crime, Cochran. Oh. So guess what? You're free to go. Don't you have a colonoscopy to get to? Don't they have to find your head? You know what? I'm jealous of all the people who haven't met you. I'm sorry. What? I'm sorry. I didn't get that. I don't speak stupidity. You know what? I'm already visualizing duct tape across your mouth.
Now, Coach, come on. I think I could still play a little bit.
Oh, give me a break, Cochran. You didn't even wear a helmet. They just put a decal on the side of your face.
That would look pretty funny.
All right, Coach, listen, I'm running out of time. Is there anything else you want to tell me?
Yeah, I love your show.
Okay, thanks.
See? Look at that. That's the underlying thing. He likes the show.
Football coach. You just didn't know how to tell me he loves me.
There you go.
I got to tell you something. I'm jealous of the people who haven't met you is a great line.
I want to keep that.
I got to call Rickles today and give him that. Probably a little late to reveal this, but you know Dave Bennett was in Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Go Cats.
After I got let go by the 1910 Fruit Gum Company.
It's true. Yeah. Were you yeah. He played the piccolo.
Yummy, yummy, yummy.
There were a bunch of horns. You couldn't hear much. He played the piccolo. I also helped him write this. Listen. They said, take a ride in the sky. The song's called Fantasy. I go, let's go on the ship Fantasy.
Yeah,
better. So what about the calendar? Yeah, the 12th of never. It's a month you don't hear about that often. And then there's a part where I just had someone step on my toe again. I went, ow. Yeah, it's in all of them. Yeah, it's in all of them. Yeah.
This is like behind the music.
I was a crucial part of Earth, Wind, and Fire.
We were snorting ads.
Right. So.
10 o'clock, Bill and Wendy are here. How are you guys?
Steve, we couldn't be better. It's impossible for us to be better today. Full show. Can we tell you an element or two?
Sure. I'd love
all right. There are accusations that Amy Schumer is stealing jokes.
Yep.
One of the comedians whose jokes may or may not have been stolen by Amy Schumer will be with us, Tammy
Which
Pescatelli.
One? Oh, Tammy Pescatelli. I like
yep.
Tammy.
Yep.
And Sticker Boy.
Sticker Boy.
Oh, you guys got Sticker Boy?
He'll be on with us.
I gotta find out what possessed him to do this. Was it premeditated
goofiness? Well, I wondered how he got so close to the action. Is he the son of somebody famous or something?
No. He just said he just went in and found a place and stayed there.
His original plan, he brought a friend who had a saxophone, and he wanted to get Bill Clinton to play a saxophone. Which is a great idea, and
yes,
I think
is.
Clinton would have done it. Bill Clinton would have said, "Oh, give me that thing."
Right.
I'm amazed at how close
can
you can get to the
horn.
Candidates.
Isn't
I mean, you
crazy?
Have to go through metal detectors when you go to these rallies. But yeah. Literally, I mean, some of the pictures I took, I was.
But
right
how many
next
guys in
Clinton.
The? We saw the Clinton. See, Clinton was in our hotel. The Clintons were in our hotel.
Yeah. Separate rooms.
Oh yeah, for sure.
At the Days Inn,
they had a motorcade.
With you guys at the Days Inn,
Super 8.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And who knew the Days Inn had 9 floors?
I think they had the whole floor.
They did the entire 8th floor. But I talked to the Secret Service guys and rode the elevators with them and stuff, and there's a ton of them. And the motorcade for the Clintons, because you've got an ex-president in it, is significant. So the Sticker Boy in back, how close did the Secret Service come and just taking the kid out? We don't know when he's going to blow. Shoot him now!
Well, there were several stories that with Hillary Clinton, you really had to get through a lot of security to get anywhere near her. But with the other candidates, like with Bernie Sanders, you could just walk right up to him. There was nobody blocking the way.
No, it's true.
How about that?
I wonder with Trump's security team, if the Secret Service guys go, all right, let him get one shot off. Just one.
Then we'll act on it.
Yeah.
I want to know if Sticker Boy's parents have pulled the funding for his college education, too. That's my other question.
Yeah. How old is he?
18,
he's a,
17,
yeah, he's a sophomore,
like
I think, at Drake University. So,
well, you know, most of us have to look back at our yearbook when we look like jackasses. This kid will have video.
I think he's
famous.
Cool with
part
it.
Part of history.
Yeah, probably is. All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
This is Chicago's Vario. No, you won't.
Monday. We'll come in Monday.
No, I'm coming in tomorrow.
Are you coming in?
Yeah.
You're doing the
like
cartoon
see,
show
I'd
tomorrow?
Like to see you guys tomorrow at 10.
All right.